Take the coal, touch my lips, here I am. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord, we just worship you. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you. Surrender. hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now. Speak to me now. I surrender.
Come on, sing that to him as well. We surrender to your will. We surrender, Lord, to your judgments. We surrender to your grace and mercy. We surrender, Lord, to your final say. Lord, on every matter, we surrender. No, I want to, don't go anywhere just yet.
Okay.
Let's do this song again from the beginning. We need to worship the Lord this morning. And this is it right here. Listen, whether good comes to you, whether bad comes to you, whether blessings come or tragedy comes, whether life comes or death comes, whether healing comes or it doesn't come,
amen.
Are you still going to surrender to
yes.
Jesus? Are you still going to love him even if you're in the fire, even if you're in the midst of the trial, even if you've just lost someone you love? Because that's what it's about. Look, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And yes, God can stop it all, but he doesn't sometimes. Because it's life. We live in a fallen world. And sin has brought death. It has brought sickness. It has given legal right to Satan to do things. And the Lord's trying to get our attention too, that it's not all about this life. This life, whether you have a long time or a short time, is about preparing for the next one. This is just the dress rehearsal for the real. We think this is all real. We put everything here. And this is why the Lord kept telling us, don't invest everything here. He even said that the man that tried to save his life will lose it. And the man that will lose his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? The issue is, you could die today. You could walk out of here, get in your car, get hit on this stupid bridge that we have right here that's a blind turn. And that could be it. The question would be, not why didn't you have longer to live? Everybody wants to ask that question. The question, real question is, were you ready to die? Was Jesus Lord of your life? Did you love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Was your relationship with Jesus up to date? Have you forgiven those that hurt you and did you wrong? Are you ready to go? You know, Job had all of his children killed. Lost all of his wealth. And back then, he didn't have the New Testament like we have. And he said, you know what? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on now.
Yes.
That's Christianity, folks. Is Jesus still Lord of our lives? Do we love him even when tragedy comes? Or even when we're going through difficulty? Financial difficulty, losing a job, going through a health struggle that may be scary. The real question is, will you still raise your hands? Will you still say, Lord, you are worthy of all the glory and the honor and praise, and I will praise you when all is well, and I will praise you when I'm suffering and I'm in pain? Listen. We talk about the last days and we talk about this great tribulation that's coming. We need to get a grip that the tragedies that we're seeing now, and it seems like there's been a lot lately. We are only in the beginning stages of what Jesus said, that there would never be such a terrible time since there was a nation that's coming upon the world. He said there's a war coming that's going to kill one third of mankind. He said there will be plagues, earthquakes. Well, guess what happens to plagues and earthquakes? People die. And a lot of it's man-made. People talk about these acts of God. A lot of it's just acts of foolish men or evil men. Now we know what was manufactured, don't we? Better not say it. We got to love Jesus through the good times and the bad. And trust him that no matter, even if the devil got in and did steal, kill, and destroy, everything that happened, and I love this, Pastor John Kilpatrick from the Brownsville Revival used to say this all the time, no matter what happens, it's Father filtered. Nothing happens unless he said, okay, I'll let this happen. And you're saying, I don't understand why he let some of the things happen that happened. We'll understand in eternity.
All right.
And I think a lot of it that he allows to happen, just like he did with Job, is a test to see who will still be faithful to me, even when they don't understand. Will they trust me that I know what's best for every single person that's ever been born? And if I let them live to their 80, or I let them live until they're 8, do you trust me? I think the Lord's saying that all the time. Do you trust me? Trust me with your family. Trust me with your children. Trust me with your finances. Trust me. Don't you try to figure it all out. Trust me and follow me. Even when there's tears running down your face. Even when you lose someone. And for those of you that don't know, I won't give names, but there was a terrible accident on I-65 yesterday. And come to find out this morning that one of our church members was involved in that accident and lost 2 of her children and 6 more. So it's I know one of our church members' friends, I should say that, but not one of the, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get this straight. But anyway, it's just, you know, my daughter, Bethany, my middle child, just had her best friend, one of her best friends that she went to high school with. You know, and here's something for you young people. Better listen up. Show me your, you know, as Jordan says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Obviously, he hung out with some people he shouldn't be hanging out with, and they gave him a Xanax laced with fentanyl, and it killed him instantly. He's 24 years old. He's dead now. Now, some of this stuff is games people are playing. You can't avoid early death by avoiding stupidity. But still, this is just this week. That's just this week. And there was a total of 10 people died in that terrible pileup accident on I-65 yesterday. But you know what? How many times have I been traveling down I-65 through Greenville, headed to Mobile or headed to Gulf Shores in my life here? Could have been me. Could have been you. So let's do this song like we mean it this morning. That we surrender all to Jesus, no matter what we go through, no matter what we will go through. Everything may be wonderful now. What if you lose your job? You won't take the mark of the beast. What if you go through a period? What if you're homeless? What if they tell you you have cancer and you have 3 months to live? You know, will you still surrender to Jesus? Will you still praise him no matter what you go through? And yes, he's the healer and he's the deliverer. But again, I love what the Hebrew children said. Our God is able to deliver us, yes, O King Nebuchadnezzar, from the fire. But if not, we will not bow.
That's right.
You hear
yes.
me? See, the sign of a true Christian is live or die, blessing or suffering, we will not bow to the devil, to this world system, to falling away, to walking away, to getting offended with God. We'll just say, Lord, you're still worthy of praise,
yes,
and honor and glory, and I trust your wisdom and that you will get me through this. That's why you got to have a strong relationship with the Lord. So he's first no matter what. Amen. Let's do it.
Here I am down on my knees again.
I surrender.
We're going to do another song. Not, you don't have to do this one, but this one is, my sister passed away a couple of weeks ago. This song really hit me right here. And it's a song we need to be singing regularly. Man, let's do it. It's just worship time, y'all. Yes.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing is in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name, blessed be your name when the sun shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your holy name.
Just keep worshiping him. We got another one. There's one more. Come on. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, it's the 25th anniversary of the Brownsville Revival. You remember that? They're having a little celebration down there in Daphne. And I think about it because I was there. Can't believe it was 25 years ago. Well, it's a lifetime, isn't it? But you know what? We sang all these songs there. We sang this one, too. Let's do this one right here.
Against the water. Now I'm waiting, if you please. We've longed to see the roses, but never felt the thorns, and bought our pretty crown, but never paid the price. Find me in the river, find me there, find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river, I'm waiting here. Against the water. Now I'm waiting, if you please. We didn't count on suffering, we didn't count on pain, but if the blessing's in the valley, then in the river I will wait. Find me in the river, find me there, find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river, I'm waiting here. Find me in the river, find me there, find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river, I'm waiting here for you. Come find me here. Find me in the river. Find me here.
Lord. God, we want to be in the river and the flow of your Holy Spirit. We want to be filled. We want to be flowing with you. We want to be led by the Spirit, Lord, and truly be following and not walking against the flow of the river of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want you here, and we choose, Lord, whether there's suffering or pain or difficulty or loss or spiritual warfare, oppression, attacks, Lord, we choose to keep pressing forward, Lord, to keep moving forward, to keep following you, loving you, and obeying you, Lord, to the end. Lord, we choose to be people who will endure to the end. And we thank you that we can, by your grace and by your strength, and if we will just draw near to you, you promised you would draw near to us. And we thank you for it today, in Jesus' name. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Frankly, I could just keep on with a few more, but I do feel like I'm going to share a brief word with you that just keeps coming to my mind. I want everybody to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, known as the faith chapter, right? The faith chapter. Heroes of the faith. Talks about Enoch and Noah, Abel and Abraham. Talks about Rahab and Sarah. Talks about the great things that God did because they operated in faith. But I want to read something toward the end of this chapter that a lot of us, we may read it, but I don't think we think about it sometimes that it's faith as well. Verse 32 is where we'll start. He says, "What shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others, though, were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mocking and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, all these having obtained a good report. Through faith received not the promise, God having provided something, some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." Now I want to stop there and just think about that. In the chapter where he talks about the heroes of faith who subdued kingdoms, escaped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, put to flight sometimes the armies of many foreign nations, he says others were tortured. I think about the book Tortured for Christ. A friend of mine knew Richard Wurmbrand personally. The man was tortured and beaten. They would put him in a freezer and nearly freeze him to death, take him out and nearly burn him to death, and then put him back in a freezer. The things that he suffered for Jesus because of just being a Christian in Soviet communist Russia at the time. Just amazing what he went through. I think about the Chinese Christians. I remember when I was a young man reading about the persecution of Christians in China, and that the pastors in China, the Christian pastors, not the state-approved pastors, you know, we got those now in America. We're going the same direction as China. But the pastors who were really preaching the Bible would have to hide. Their churches would have to meet secretly as possible. But, of course, there was always infiltrators and snitches, always. And they would be found out. And so the pastors, if they weren't taken and killed immediately, many of them were put in Chinese labor camps, which is still going on right now as I speak. And it said that in China back in the late 80s, that the average time spent in hard prison, hard labor prisons in China for the pastors, 11 years on average, that every Chinese pastor spent in one of those, if they survived, if they got out. Think about that. We have no comprehension in America what it is like to live in that type of persecution. And not to mention what they would do to women and children. And that's just the Chinese. Let's talk about the Muslim persecution of Christians in Egypt, in the Middle East, Iraq. We watched that in 2014 and 15 with ISIS. But that's been going on for centuries. And somehow, as American Christians, we still have the idea that we're never going to go through anything bad because we've had these prosperity teachers tell us that we get nothing but blessing. Well, how many of you know if God allows some trial to come into your life, that that's a blessing too? Because that trial that comes in your life is the fire that's to purify you as gold and silver is tried in a fire. And if you don't want the fire, or you think you're never supposed to have the fire, how are you ever going to be purified? And listen, there's none of us in here. I don't care at what level you are in your Christian walk, what level of maturity or knowledge or how many years you've been saved. Let me tell you right now, there's none of us good, no, not one. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And do you know that's a present tense Greek verb there too, meaning we are continually sinning and coming short of the glory of God. A lot of us sometimes when we're doing good start thinking that we got it all together. I assure you, as long as you're in this flesh suit, you do not have it all together. And that flesh suit can rise up and betray you. Why do you think Paul said that, oh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He was talking about the flesh. He said, oh, the things that I desire to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. He's like, I've learned one thing, that when I want to do good, he said, evil dwells with me. He said, it's always present with me. Can I just go ahead and tell you, your flesh is an enemy. It's a betrayer. It has been changed. Once Adam and Eve sinned, we inherited this flesh suit. It can totally rise up against you and betray you. Why do you think David said, how can a man understand his errors and his faults? And he's like, you know, I've seen men and women who are on fire Christians doing great, and then all of a sudden, boom, do something horrible. And you go, how in the world did they ever do that? And I'm just saying that to say there is none of us perfect. None of us are righteous. None of us go our Christian lives without struggling or having this day of darkness come upon you. Or, you know, some people, they can be the sweetest person in the world, and when the flesh rises up, they will cuss you out. Now, is that who they are? Now, what did Paul say about that in Romans 7? He said, it's not I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. He goes, I want no part of that. But there's a part of me that will just lash out and do stuff that I don't want to do. So what I'm saying is, even that, I believe, God allows so that we don't get in pride thinking that we're more righteous and better than other people, because, again, like I said, I've watched it for years. No matter how strong, mature, prayerful, fasting person, whatever, the most devout Christian can just blow it in one day. That's why you see a person that's been, you know, an alcoholic that's been set free for maybe a decade. All of a sudden, one day, it's just something happens and boom. You find them drunk one day. Is that what they want to be doing? You get what I'm saying? None of us. None of us. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, granted, we should never as a Christian let sin become the rule, the habit, the habitual thing. But I'm just telling you, it's there constantly. It's that, like I talk about the beach balls, trying to hold them underwater. That's what we do with the flesh. All we're doing with the flesh suit is trying to hold it underwater until Jesus comes. And we get a new body that's not like this one. But I say all that to say we've got to stop thinking, though, that we're going to be immune to the trials and the difficulties and the tragedies and the persecution. Persecution is coming to America. Really, it's already here. It's just not widespread yet. But it will be widespread. Now, what are you going to do? If it's your husband or your wife, they cut their head off. Is your faith going to crumble? Is your relationship with God going to crumble? You know, that's why I love this. Because he was saying here, it's not just faith to see the victory. Yes, faith will see the victory sometimes in Jesus' name. We'll see great victories. But there has to also be faith to not bow the knee, to not give in, to not get offended, to not turn away from God when we are tortured, when we are told to bow, submit to this beast Antichrist system, and we say no. See, this beast Antichrist system, I tell you, it's been around a long time. The Tower of Babel was the beginning. Think about Egypt, Babylon, the statue that Nebuchadnezzar built. Bow to this statue, and you'll live. No, king, we will not bow. Right now, let me tell you, right now, Christians are bowing. In America, Christians are bowing. They're bowing to letting the government shut down their church. Okay, we'll go home. Governor of California. No, you can't even have a Bible study in your home. Okay. Now, granted, there were some pastors and churches that fought back. But for the most part, folks bowed the knee and went home. Same thing's going on with the, you know. Just bow the knee. Yes. Yes, Master Government. Yes, Master State. Oh, you'll take care of me. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they just keep printing money until it's not worth anything. And then what are you going to do? At what point do you stop bowing and you start trusting Jesus? At what point are you willing to start trusting Jesus even if it makes you suffer? Have we forgotten this as Christians? They wandered about in desert places, in caves and dens. They were beaten. They were put in prison, verse 36. They were mocked. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And listen to what Jesus says of these people who were suffering for their faith because they would not bow. They would not be offended with God. They would not walk away from God. They would not fall away from God. He said, the world's not worthy of these kind of people. The people that love Jesus when they're suffering, when they're being persecuted, when they're being thrown in prison, when they're being beaten, when they're being tortured, when they're having everything taken from them, and they still love Jesus, and they still lift their hands and say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love him. I'm going to be with him. I don't care what they do to me." The Lord looks down on those people and he says, "The world's not even worthy to have you there." Think about that. Yeah, this right here, I remember as a young man reading this going, wow. We Americans have no concept to this. I want to show you something else. Go with me to Revelation. I don't know, my heart's heavy today, but in a good way. You know, when I was in Nigeria in 2002 and I was speaking every day to the graduate students at Pilgrim's Theological Seminary, which is now Pilgrim's University. And I remember that they were, many of them were getting ready to go into the ministry. When they go into the ministry there, they go and either start a church somewhere or become missionaries to even other countries in Africa or even within Nigeria. And I remember that, you know, I spoke to them for a month. So I was there every morning for a month, and then I would preach. Sometimes I would teach the seminary students for at least 2 hours, then have lunch. We'd go preach in another city or another place, another church, go have dinner, go back to the hotel, and then preach somewhere that night. I did that for a month. And I remember this group of students. I just looked at them one morning, and they were all sitting on one side. It was like three sections of them. And I remember they were all sitting over here on this section. And the Holy Spirit just came all over me, and I just pointed at it and said, "Some of you are going to be martyrs for your faith." And the anointing was so strong on that. Well, come to find out, after that session that morning, that class, these students came up to me and said, "We feel, those of us sitting here, we feel called to go into the north part of Nigeria, which was a Muslim stronghold, to be missionaries." They knew that was a death sentence. In Nigeria, anybody heard of Boko Haram? When I was there, they burned thousands of churches and killed thousands of Christians during the month I was there. And these Christians were saying, "God's called us to go be missionaries, to go preach the gospel to these people." Now I got goofy people here telling me Pilgrim's University is a fake school in Nigeria and all this stuff. These idiots don't know what they're talking about. And you know what? Many of them went and many of them were killed. This is reality. Revelation, what did I tell you? Revelation 2. The church of Smyrna there, chapter 2, verse 8. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." Of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, because only God said he was the first and the last. "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." Listen to what he says in verse 10. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried." That is tested. That is that fire. "That you may be tested, that you may be purified." The devil will cast some of you. And who's casting you? Is it God? "No, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. What is the word here? "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." What is the crown of life? That's eternal life. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death, which is the lake of fire." So he's saying, be faithful unto death. What does that mean? You don't deny Jesus. You don't walk away from Jesus. You don't become offended at Jesus. You don't fall away from Jesus. You're faithful even unto death, even in a prison cell, even if they're beating you, even if they're torturing you, even if they're threatening you, even if they're threatening your family. Jesus comes first, and you trust him with the rest. Because the day of reckoning of these evil people who do these things to Christians, their day of reckoning will come shortly. You be faithful unto death, and you will get the crown of life. And you will see your enemies reap what they have sown. Your eyes will see it. This is what the Bible says. Your eyes will see. This really stands out. Go to Luke chapter 12. Just a few things on my mind this morning. Not even 12 o'clock. We're doing good. Happy Father's Day, by the way. Another Father's Day message. Verse 4. What Jesus said, this is in, should be in the red part of your Bible if you have a red letter Bible. I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Think about that. Not one sparrow is forgotten. Not one detail of his creation is ever outside of his mind. He said, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. I guess I made that easy for him. And then he says this, fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. And he's saying, don't fear these people, even these people who want to kill you. Who will try to kill you, who will threaten to kill you. Hey, Pastor Dean, what are you talking about? We live in America. Everything's great. Just wait for it, because it's coming. But just be known that you are valuable. And he goes on to say, also I say to you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man confess before the angels of God, but he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. You hear that? Do not deny him. In the face of losing a job, losing family members and friends, or losing your life, or your freedom. Pastors in Canada are going to jail simply for having church services. Soon, pastors will be arrested for preaching against homosexuality, transgenderism. I mean, we already can't talk about, you know. That'll be illegal, too. I'm going to read that again, verse 8 and 9. Also, I say to you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man, that is Jesus, also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and unto the magistrates and the powers or the authorities, that's the word exousia there. Powers is exousia, which means the authorities. Take no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. He's telling us here over and over again. Remember what he told the women standing by when he was carrying the cross? If they've done this thing to me, what do you think they'll do to you? But can I tell you this? They're not going to do anything to you if you're a lukewarm Christian. If you're willing to bow the knee to their system, if you're willing to say, oh, I think homosexuality is just fine. Oh, I think it's just fine if you want to pump little children full of hormones and give them sex change operations before they can even hit puberty. That's fine. No problem. No? We cannot bow to this system, no matter what, no matter how bad it gets. And I love it. You know, when he says, don't fear, fear not those who can kill the body. Greek word for fear, phobos, phobeo. What does that mean? It means fear. Means terror. Means to be afraid. Doesn't mean reverence. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. And I can tell you this much. When I was in Nigeria the second time, and I was detained by certain Nigerian officials at the airport for hours, and I've told this story, and they were, you know, I got there about noon. I was detained the whole day. Never given a reason, right? But of course I knew the reason, because half the officials are Muslims and some are Christians and some are taking money from whoever give them the most money and bribe them. But then I knew when I tried to bribe them to leave, and that didn't work, when one U.S. dollar is worth, at that time, was 134 Nigerian naira, and I pull out a $100 bill and they, no. I pull out a $200 bill, no. Pull out a $300, but no. I was like, I'm in trouble. Yep, I'm in trouble. And when Nigerian soldiers come with a commanding officer and two guys with AK-47s and start marching you out into the darkness, you kind of go, well, and I said this. I said, Lord, I guess this may be it. And you know what I said? I'm good with that. There was no panic. There was no fear. There was just this peace. But you know why? I was ready. When I came to Jesus in 1987, I said, Lord, my life is yours. Whether I live or I die, whether it's a year or 5 years, or 10 years, or 20 years, my life is yours. I will do what you've called me to do. I will say what you've called me to say. And when it's my time, just let me be ready. And boy, we marched for a long way through empty hangar after empty hangar after empty hangar. And I thought, how far are we going to walk? I guess they don't want anybody to hear the gunshots. And we walked out, and they opened the door, and we're out on the runway of Lagos International Airport. And several hundred yards, I say a par five from me, was sitting a nice, big, beautiful KLM Dutch 747. And I was like, well, I guess there's a 50-50 shot here. And they marched me right up to the steps of that airplane. And all they said, they never said a word the whole time. We got to the steps of that airplane. They said, go. I said, okay, it's not my time then. And I proceeded to walk up the steps, and they sat me in first class. Yes, first class. And flew to Amsterdam, getting nice warm cookies delivered to me, freshly baked in first class. Not eating with the people in the back. I had a full recliner on my flight back to Amsterdam. And I said, well, it's not my time. It's not my time. But you know what? I was fine either way. Let me ask you, would you be? I've been on airplanes that thought they were going down. Would you be ready? One stupid Nigerian pilot decided he overshot the runway and he decided to put us into a full dive. I guess he was a fighter pilot, but you're not supposed to do that with 727s and things of that nature. Full dive. It's like some people around me, they were just freaking out, but I'm like, Lord, I'm ready. Oh, whatever. You know? I'm not joking. And he dove that thing down. And boy, when he pulled up, yeah, I know what fighter pilots feel like. And the poor older guy sitting next to me, man, the I won't call it the G forces, whatever, it's inertia, whatever. But he's like, he was just like, yeah, he's pulling up, we'll make it. I thought, you know, a Muslim got a hold of the plane, was just gonna take us all into the ground. It happens there. I think that was the flight that there was a bomb on the plane too, next to my bags. I got back to Atlanta International Airport, and when we went through customs, my bags set off the explosive materials thing, and they went through everything in my bags and pulled me into another room, and I went through that whole thing with Homeland Security, and sure enough, they said, we don't know, there's nothing in your bags, but your bags have just explosive materials all over. He said, your bags must have sat next to somebody's bags with a bomb in it. Well, a few days later, because the flight I was supposed to be on got canceled, all the bags went into this holding area at Lagos International Airport. I went upstairs and bought a ticket on German Lufthansa and flew to Germany and flew home. The people who waited for the Nigerian Airways flight, that their bags blew up. I saw it on Fox News 2 days later. So I was like, well, there's the bomb. When I was in Israel, I was just jabber-jawing, talking to somebody, walking to the Jerusalem bus station, and walked right into that yellow police tape. And when I walked right into the yellow police tape right here, a guy came walking by in a full bomb suit with a bomb in his hand. I looked at it like he was about to hand me a meal on Thanksgiving, and he turned this way and went into a bomb truck. So, was I scared? Was I worried? Nope. Not the whole time. So, hear what I'm saying to you. Be ready. It's not about how long you live. It's not even about preserving your life. It's about, are you close to Jesus? Have you confessed your sins? Have you repented of your sins? Do you love him more than anything else in this world? And are you ready to live for him and, if need be, die for him? And are you ready to not bow your knee to this idolatrous beast antichrist system in this world? That's what you got to be ready for. You know, there used to be a lot of preaching like this. I remember Keith Green preaching this about Leonard Ravenhill, David Wilkerson. Pledge your head to heaven first. Said any man that makes his little message repentance better make sure that he's pledged his head to heaven, because they're going to cut it off. Because if you preach Jesus Christ, him crucified, him resurrected, him is the only way to heaven, the only way to forgiveness, the only way to eternal life, the only true God, and that you have to turn from sin and that he's the only one that can wash your sins away, you are a marked man or a marked woman. This world system, Satan, the whole thing, hates you. And the more you become a factor in their world, the more they will hate you and want you dead. I mean, we had people saying, oh, you're not wearing a mask. I wish you would die. Think about it when there's no food. Or there's another China virus. And another. No, because what they're setting us up for is the mark of the beast. Mm-hmm. So, have you made up your mind? Have you pledged your head to heaven for the gospel? Have you made up your mind you will not bow, you will not submit, you will not fall away, you will not leave Jesus no matter what they threaten, no matter what they do, no matter what you lose, or no matter what you have to suffer? That's why, look, if you can't give up sin now, how are you going to be able to give up maybe your family or your job or your home or whatever if you're not willing to give up your fornication or your adultery or your drugs or your alcohol? If you're not willing to give up your sins, how are you ever going to give up your life for Jesus? You better do what you need to do now. Because just like these people, I assure you that my daughter's friend at 24 years old, on the night he went out last week, did not think that was the last day he would be alive. Those people driving to the beach didn't think that that would be the last day for them. My sister, I assure you, didn't think she would go to work one day and go get in her car and die at 46 years old. Are you ready? And if you're ready, your life will prove it. The fruit will prove it. Your actions will prove it. You say, well, Pastor Dean, I'll get it right right before I die. Well, sometimes it might happen. You might have a moment to cry out to God. But let me just ask you this question. Do you really want the coin flip that one? Because a lot of people die instantly. Massive heart attack, massive stroke, head-on collision, it's over. Bullet to the head. You don't get to think about it. You don't get to prepare. Oh, how many people, how many drug addicts thought, oh, it's just another day of getting high. And they overdosed and didn't mean to overdose. Or just a little bit too much meth, a little too much cocaine, and the heart stopped. I've had friends die from all of these things. I've had friends shot in the head, head-on car accidents, massive heart attack, just gone. You know, the Lord spoke to me one time because I was thinking about World War III. And I was thinking, how terrible, how many people are going to die? And the Lord was like, he spoke to me as clear as a bell, everybody's going to die. He said, it's you people that get bent out of shape about how it happens. The issue is not how you die, it's are you ready? So I don't care if it's a bullet to the head, a guillotine, or thermal nuclear war. Are you ready? Is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Jesus of this Bible, that was prophesied in this Old Testament, fulfilled in this New Testament, is that Jesus your Lord and Savior? Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you are born again by His Spirit? Have you turned from your sin? Do you hate your sin? Do you love Him and hate your sin? Has your life changed? Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Have old things passed away and all things become new? If that hasn't happened to you, then you need to make sure that that happens to you. No man, no woman will see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, born from above. It's not enough to go to church. It's not enough to sing in the choir. It's not enough to be baptized or have choir robes through your closet. You must be born again, and that only comes through true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead on the third day, and the fact that he is the only true God. God manifested in the flesh. He wasn't just a man. He was fully God the Creator who came in the flesh. You have to believe that. You have to ask him to forgive you. You have to ask him to be Lord of your life. And you have to mean it when you say, Jesus, be Lord of my life. You can't just say words. You have to do it. You have to follow through. Would there be enough evidence in court to convict you of being a Christian? If you couldn't use words. When they die, when you die, and if there is an obituary written of you, what do you want said there? Oh, he was a good person. She was a good person. That's not what I want said. Because there's none good. No, not one. I want him to say, he loved Jesus Christ more than anything else. And he knew him, and he walked with him. And the fruit of his life, he changed lives by his witness and his example and his preaching. That's what I want said. There's too many American Christians. You understand what I'm saying? There's only Christians. But no, there's an American version of Christianity. And let me just tell you, it ain't it. You better make sure the version of Christianity you have is from this book, not from one of their books. Bible, purpose-driven life. Bible, every day of Friday, your best life now. That's why I tell you, folks, don't even believe me. Read this. If you read this, if you just say, Lord, help me throw away everything these denominations taught me. Whether it be Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, Assembly of God, I don't care. Throw it all out and just read it for yourself from Genesis to Revelation slowly. And I assure you, you're going to come to some of the same conclusions that I have over the years. The version of Christianity that most of America has is not Bible. And therefore, it is not real, and therefore, it is not powerful, and it doesn't change anything in your life, because all it is like joining the Elks Club or the Freemasons or becoming a Boy Scout. You've just joined a club, and you're trying to do what the club says you ought to do. And then that's why you have most of the people in the club don't even do the good things the club says to do. It's not a club, folks. Christianity is not a club. It's not a religion. It is a relationship with the only true and living God, the only true Creator, the one true God, God Almighty. That's why I love John. You can put it up here. John 17, verse 3. Can we put it up? This will be my last verse. It's not Buddha. It's not Krishna. It's not Allah. It's not the Maitreya. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you know him? I used to preach on college campuses, go out on the street all the time, and I'd hold up a dollar bill. Say, this is George Washington. Do you know him? What do you mean? Well, I know he was the first president of the United States, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I was like, no, you know about him. You know about George Washington. Do you know him? They would go, no, of course not. I said, well, you better know Jesus. See, the reason you can know Jesus, because he rose from the dead. And he is alive forevermore. And by his spirit, he can come and dwell and live in you. And you can know him. And it's a living, real relationship. That's what being born again is when you totally surrender to Jesus as Lord. And he comes in you and you feel it. You know it. And you let his Holy Spirit change you. You can resist the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. But if you let him change you, you are born again. If you resist him, guess what? You are not. The born again person submits, yields, follows what the Spirit of Jesus Christ in them wants them to do, and has a relationship with him where they hear his voice and follow him. If you don't have that, I don't care how many churches you've attended, how many times you've been sprinkled or baptized or dunked or whatever, you are not saved. You are not ready for eternity. You must be born again. And it is a supernatural experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And like my old pastor used to say, if you can be saved and not know it, you could lose it and not miss it. If you're born again, you know it. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know it. Don't be fooled by church attendance, tithing, giving, oh, what they love now, serving. People think they're saved because they go to church and they serve. I'm doing good, so I'm a Christian. No. Are you born again? You know, the great thing about Baptist churches back in the old days is that they used to harp on being born again. They used to preach that nearly every Sunday morning. That's what made them good. They don't even do that anymore. Are you born again? I'm going to keep saying, are you born again? Are you ready to live for Jesus? Are you ready to die? If you get killed in front of our stupid bridge right here, are you ready? Look, I've been sitting right there, and two cars smash each other head on because people can't figure out what's going on. And I watch closely, and I've still almost pulled out in front of somebody. So you hear what I'm saying. And guess what? You can be somewhere, you can be anywhere, and the light turns green. And you go, and somebody else runs the red light. I guess we should make cars illegal, right? Where's the car control movement? Oh, yeah, they're accidents. Vaccidents. Oh, okay. I have to remind my wife, people driving crazy out there. I said, remember, most of these people are on psychotropic drugs, so be careful. Right? They're all popping pills. I have somebody drive. I mean, somebody just zoom past me. I'm going 80, and they go past me, you know, like I'm sitting still, and just to get one car length in front of me. And I was like, they must be on, you know, their psychologist must have prescribed him something. Or they just got the... I want to do blessed be the name of the Lord again. Let's stand. I had to keep you for a little while longer or we'd be accused of being a different denomination. I can't say anymore. You know, people call me every name under the book, y'all. I've been called the devil, the spawn of Satan, pure evil. Let's see what else. False prophet, false teacher, narcissist. Can I tell you this much? I hope y'all get what I'm trying to say today. None of us are good, including me. And the only way you can be saved is through Jesus Christ. And I can't do it for you. I don't know a cult leader that's ever said that. They usually say, you got to follow me, and let's go to an island and drink some Kool-Aid I made for you. Right. We're the only church. We're the only way you can be saved. You got to drink this Kool-Aid and die quick. No, that's a cult leader, y'all. The one that says, you got to be born again. You got to follow Jesus. Don't follow me. Follow Jesus. Because ultimately, it's not going to be about what church you went to. It's not going to be who your pastor was. It's going to be, were you born again? Is Jesus Lord of your life? Were you willing to live for him and even die for him? To not submit to the sin of this world, the lust of this world, and to the system that they're demanding that we submit to. So let's do this song, because this song, even though it talks a little bit about the pain and the suffering, it also talks about the joy we're supposed to have, whether we're in the trial. Remember Paul, the Apostle Paul said, what? Rejoice in the Lord always. Whoa, always. What's that mean? I guarantee you look it up in Greek and I'll tell you what it means. Always. So let's sing this one again.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. sun over us to the setting of the same. Though there's pain in the offering, oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be, blessed be, blessed be your holy name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just worship you. We thank you, God, for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that by the shed blood of Jesus and his resurrection, we can be born again. Through faith, we can be born again, truly born again by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that will happen to everyone here. If they're not born again, they will be, Lord. I pray that those watching and listening, if they've never been born again, they will be before they die, that they'll be ready. They'll be ready no matter what happens. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say this before we go. Go ahead and give him a hand clap for the Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I felt his presence here today. He is our comfort and our strength through whatever we go through. And please be praying for those families that have lost people in this terrible accident. Also, just want to remind everyone, August 7th, we're having the deliverance seminar. So if you need to register for that, we are finding out a lot of people are coming. It's almost be like a Skyfall reunion here. Didn't mean to make that happen that way, but it's happening. People are coming from all over again. So we're going to be at the Marriott at Grand National. So we've got the, are we in that big ballroom again? So we'll be in the big ballroom where we were for Skyfall 2018 or 19? 19 for church, if y'all remember the Sunday morning, that big room. So we'll be in that at the Marriott at Grand National in Opelika. That's August 7th, so please register for that. The registration fee is for your lunch, and it's going to be good. And we're going to have church there on Sunday morning because we're going to have too many to meet here. So that's going to be August 7th and 8th at the Marriott at Grand National Hotel. Also, just so you know, a lot of good things are happening. I want you to be praying. I've got all kinds of invitations to speak all over the state. Yeah, it's just unreal. I mean, it's getting busy, and also we're going to be getting ready. I don't know those of you ever heard of Trey Taylor or not, but Trey Taylor is he's the youngest African-American country music recording artist ever to sign with a major label, and he's Christian as well, and he contacted us. He said, I love your website. I love what you stand for. I love your testimony of how you repented of your sin and following Jesus. And he's only 22 years old, and he said that I want to do a concert for you to raise money for your campaign. And he said, I don't want a dime from the ticket sales, not a dime. So we hadn't decided what to set the ticket sales at, but, you know, it's going to be a fundraiser, so they're not going to be cheap. But we have secured the Fox Sports Dome at Talladega Motor Speedway, the museum. And so we're going to have a shindig, and it's coming quickly. That's going to be August 28th, so just mark your calendar on that. August 28th, so that's Trey Taylor fundraising concert for Dean Odle for governor. That's just awesome, and he's a great guy. We had a Zoom call with him, and he's a talented guy. He's from Colorado, but he says, I have many fans in Alabama, and he did some rallies with Trump, and, you know, he's just a big conservative. He's trying to support local and state candidates that are true conservatives, true Christians, and he's helping. He said there were 10. He picked 10, and I was one of them. So it's just an awesome thing that's going to happen. And Bama Carry groups, Second Amendment, big pro-Second Amendment group that's all over, have chapters all over Alabama. I mean, it just I don't know if they all talk to each other. But I got invitations to Coleman, to Decatur, to Tuscaloosa, to Baldwin County, to with all them, and of course I'm speaking at a number of more GOP groups, and we're going to do real soon at different parts of the state, we're about to do some volunteer I guess, training or readiness meetings in these different groups. But just to let you know, the campaign is going well. Keep praying. What's that? And, yes, the School of Ministry, you need to get your applications in. If you are planning to be in Fire and Grace School of Ministry in the fall, you need to get those applications in ASAP. Quickly, don't be a procrastinator. That's not a good sign. Especially if you're joining our school, there is no such thing as procrastination. Tests and things have a time limit. Yeah. So anyway, Fire and Grace School of Ministry, get those applications in. Put that up one more time for them. FGMinistryschool.com. Get those applications in. All right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My wife said, pray about it first. Yeah. Let's just put it this way. You better know, because we started out with, what, 36 last time? And what did we end up by the end of the year? 12. Yeah. So two-thirds couldn't hack it and had to get out of it for one reason or another. And so we tell you it's not easy, but it's not supposed to be. It's a boot camp. And if you really work hard, you can do it in 1 year, but most people it takes two. And don't feel bad if it takes you two. It's really a lot to do in 1 year, especially if you're working full time. So anyway, do that. Make sure it's the Lord's will. But if it is, you feel it's God, don't delay. Get on that. All right. Well, listen, we're going to eat here as usual. Y'all go get something and come back. Sorry y'all can't be with us. We'd love to have you here. But so come to the deliverance seminar and we'll all hang out. All right. All right. God bless.